Good morning, everyone. Welcome to College Street for the online Palm Sunday live stream. We're so glad to have you with us tuning in this morning. Just a couple of announcements for this week. As a reminder, all of our activities on campus are suspended for the time being. Also, this year we're trying something a little different for Easter. Starting on Wednesday, we will have a cross put outside at the front of the church. And we invite anyone to come anytime Wednesday through Sunday with some artificial flowers and decorate it for Easter. We hope that this will be an outward symbol of hope and Easter and love for our community. We would love everyone to take part in that. I'm so excited to be worshiping with y'all today. I wish y'all could smell these Easter lilies here. They smell so beautiful. Let's worship together.
I'd like for you to sing with me, "You Are My All in All." You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. Cross my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, worthy is your name, worthy is your name. Amen.
Good morning. This time we're going to have a word of prayer, but before we do, let me remind you that as part of our act of worship and our, say, giving our glory to God and seeing that Jesus is worthy, that we also bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. In our normal worship service, we would do that, but I've been asked also to announce that if you would like to bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord on Monday or Tuesday between 10 and 1, there will be a drive-through out here, and you don't have to get out of your car. Just come and just give it to that person that is holding the offering basket. And, of course, we know that many of you give online, and we're grateful for that as well. So just keep that in mind. It is part of our worship, as I have said, and part of the support for the church, for our missionaries overseas. At this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We come to God, of course, in prayer. And I know that you have, it's only natural that you have a lot of things on your mind that you're going to pray for. And this is a time when we would like to invite you to join me in prayer. And our churches certainly receives prayer requests and so forth through our office, and we just ask you to do that. Just call our office, let us know that, and we'll do that. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer on this Palm Sunday to praise you for allowing us to live to see another day. We also come to you with thankful hearts for once again letting us celebrate Palm Sunday. and what that means to the Christian family and to us personally. We focus today on Jesus and what he did that week on his way to the cross. Help us to set aside the cares of the world and for a few minutes, by just breathing deeply and realizing that when it seems that our own little world is coming apart at the seams, that you are still on your throne and still in control. We confess our sins to you and our lack of faith also, Lord. We hear so many reports and are tempted to think that it is hopeless, but we must really look to you as our only and final hope. We do pray for all those medical personnel and first responders who are on the front lines fighting this COVID-19. We pray for our leaders and the thousands of military who are helping in various ways to fight this war of disease. We pray that you would give each one of them the physical strength that they need and the recall of their training that they have to meet the needs of all the patients in their care. Help family members whose loved ones are in the grips of this disease. Help them to be strong, Lord, and to keep faith in you. And then, Lord, we also pray for those who work in our grocery stores, our takeout restaurants, our postal and delivery services, just to name a few places, along with our gas stations and all of that. But help them to stay healthy and strong as well as they continue to serve in our society in these very important roles. And finally, Lord, may we see the day when this crisis is past and we are able to rejoice in you and gather together with family and in the houses of worship together. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
In these times that we're living now with separation, social distancing, I'm reminded of the words of Paul from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, where he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Further over in that chapter, it reminds us Christ Jesus, who died, but more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul says, as it is written in Psalms, he's quoting David saying, For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul goes on to say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 19, it says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Like an anchor holding a ship safely in position, our hope in Christ guarantees our safety. Whereas the ship's anchor goes down to the ocean bed, the Christian's anchor, Jesus, goes up into the true heavenly sanctuary where he is moored to God himself. When we face this time of separation, there's no better time to be close to God. The anchor holds. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone. His eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I faced the raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, and I've had dreams. Of sand, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. That's where God proved his love to me. ship's been battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Thank you for that wonderful testimony. We know that our anchor is in Christ. I'm going to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. To the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. I've entitled this morning's message, Palm Sunday's Celebration. Today, as we begin what we call Passion Week or Holy Week, I'm glad that Christians around the world can take this time to remember and to reflect upon the life of Jesus during this last week of his earthly ministry. While the world, and especially our nation, is in the midst of COVID-19, it's important that we revisit the tradition of the Christian church. And by revisiting Palm Sunday and the events of Holy Week, we're holding on to that which is very, very important to our faith. But also it will remind us of something that is refreshing to a weary soul today, because we have a lot of weary souls. This year is very different than most, because Christian churches cannot meet together. Millions of Christians are forced to stay at home, but it can be a profitable time if you use it wisely. I heard one pastor out in Dallas, Texas say, this is not a time to sit around and catch up on your Netflix. This is a time to sit around with your Bible in your hand and reading God's Word and catch up on your prayer life. You see, I don't think anything happens by accident. And God can use these times of pause in our life as well. But today, the Passion or the Holy Week is to remind us of the suffering of Christ for the world. And that suffering of Christ was in order to provide salvation through his death on the cross on Good Friday. And so this year is unique to many, because many indeed are suffering in our world and in our nation from this deadly, deadly disease. However, mankind is still suffering from the deadliest disease of all, and that is the disease of sin. Because when we consider world history and biblical history, we find out that the Bible tells us that what God did over 2,000 years ago to combat the sin disease, that he did that because he loved us. And he wanted to bring about total healing with his treatment. And that treatment was the blood of Christ upon the cross, to cover our sins. So if we prepare our hearts and minds to share in the Lord's Supper here in just a moment, I want to share some things with you found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. We read right there, beginning with verse 1. And they approached Jerusalem near the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. So they went and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who were in front and those who were behind followed, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. So as we consider this Palm Sunday celebration and the events of the Holy Week, first we can see the celebration itself. We see the celebration of the people of Jesus' three-year ministry. They had come to Jerusalem for the traditional Passover time. But when they saw Jesus coming, those whose lives had been touched and given so much hope, they were willing to take their garments and throw them in the road. They were willing to cut branches off of trees. The Gospel of John says they cut off palm branches and other things that they waved in the air and laid on the street. And they shouted, Hosanna. This is from the prophet Zechariah and Zechariah 9:9. And then they also said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that was from one of the worship hymns that we find in Psalm 118. When I read this scripture here, something comes alive to me, because in 1964, I had the privilege of traveling to the Holy Land, and I saw this very place where Jesus rode that colt from the Mount of Olives down through the Kidron Valley up to the gates of Jerusalem. And for centuries, every Palm Sunday, this procession has been reenacted. Now, I'm not positive that it's been reenacted this year because of COVID-19 in Israel, but it has been reenacted. Also, we see the celebration of the disciples. Think of those disciples when they saw all this going on around him. But those disciples that were with him, they thought that Jesus was about to establish his earthly kingdom, and they would now rule with him. You'll remember that two of the disciples got their mother to go and lobby for them to have a special place in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said it was not his to give to them. But he asked them, are you willing to drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? And then we also have the celebration of Jesus himself. Because I believe with all my heart that while Jesus rode on that colt, that he saw all that was around him, and he began to realize, or he already knew of course, but it began to come to him, the culmination of his earthly ministry was about to come to a close that week. So that's the celebration that we see in this scripture. And then as we move throughout this scripture and throughout the remainder of the Gospels, we see the confrontation. Because one was with those who were trying to keep the crowd quiet so the Roman government wouldn't be attracted upon them. And Jesus said to them, I tell you this, that if these become silent, the very rocks will cry out. Jesus was celebrating that the end was near upon this earth, and those that God had given him were going to carry on. And then there was another confrontation later in the temple area about the money changers turning the place that was meant to be a house of prayer into a den of thieves with all of its commercialism and profiteering. And you can go and read that account there and what Jesus did. But there was also a confrontation later on in the week, because when you read the scripture of what took place throughout that week, you will see that there were several confrontations, and one more specifically was that with the teachers in the temple who just wanted to argue with Jesus. It seems that there's always those who want to argue about religion and politics It's not just reserved for Thanksgiving. Jesus saw it there in the temple of all places. Thirdly, we see the cup. We see the cup. There was an observance of the annual Jewish Passover celebration, and they were going to prepare for that, Jesus with his disciples, and you know that scripture, he sent some ahead to do that, and they were going to prepare that meal. And that meal was going to consist of roasted lamb and a whole lot of other elements and special dishes and all of that. But today we focus upon the cup. There were actually four different cups used during the traditional Passover meal. And they were used at different times. One began being used at the welcome of those who were there. And then throughout the meal, they were used at a significant time. Later on in history, by the way, there was a fifth cup that was added, which the Jewish tradition has in its Seder meals even today. And that's called the Elijah cup. And that's a whole other series of sermons, by the way. But this night, Jesus took that cup. We believe here that he was talking about the cup of suffering. The cup of suffering. And you know, in the past years, we would hear about this and we wouldn't think a whole lot about it. But I think you and I can relate to this today in 2020, can't we? Because we see suffering going on all around the world. We see suffering in our nation with all the health issues because of this COVID-19. And we see suffering in our nation with the financial downturn and businesses closing and people struggling and stores with empty shelves of those convenient things that we need and the special items that we like, our brand. But we also see our churches suffering because we're not able to reach out and touch one another, because church is fellowship. Church is greeting one another, hugging one another, and being in touch with one another, because we all need that human touch. And at this time, there are thousands and thousands of churches around the world that they're not able to do that. It's very sobering if you watch the news to see the Pope in the square there in Rome, Italy, looking out, and he is the only one there. Where is the congregation? It's very sobering when you watch a megachurch in Houston, Texas that has an 18,000 seat auditorium, and the pastor was preaching last Sunday to empty chairs, 18,000. And this is multiplied over and over and over again. This is very serious. And so when Jesus talked about the cup of suffering, we know that he was talking about what he's going to be going through in a few hours. But we also know that we can suffer as well, because our lives have been interrupted. It's going to be different, folks. And we're told that we're going to suffer even more. And you may say, I don't want to hear that today, preacher. I want to hear happy, good news stuff. Well, there is good news. There is a tomorrow. There's an Easter coming. That's the good news. But right now, when you and I come and partake of the cup and partake of the bread, you and I can say, I have a different meaning in my life this year, Palm Sunday 2020. Holy Week 2020. Even Easter 2020. There's something different. But fourthly and finally, we see the cross. We see the cross. The cross that Jesus is going to be on, we see in the distance now. But the disciples didn't know that that is where Jesus was focusing. He was with them there having that meal. And of course, he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. In just a moment, we're going to participate in that. But they had no clue what was coming next. But you and I know that after the Passover meal, more events led to what we now call Good Friday. And it has been said, and by others, of course, with all the confusion and the suffering going on during that time, how can anyone call that Good Friday? Well, you and I know that in reality, it's because of Jesus' love for all of us that he was willing to go to the cross to become our Savior and the Savior of the world. That's why it's good. So the invitation for you today is to accept this Jesus into your life if you've never done that. To make him Lord and Savior of your life. And you can do that right now in a simple prayer right where you are. Just acknowledging your sins and just believing that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and confessing him as your Lord. You see, that's why we Christians need to take time to reflect upon this season of the year. Because regardless of what is happening in the world around us, we need to take time to focus on Jesus' love and what it means to us personally. So as we come and approach the Lord's table, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. So as you're gathering your communion elements in just a minute, we will be doing this, but let me say this. The Bible does tell us that we are to examine our own hearts to ensure that we are ready and worthy to receive these elements, that this should not be done lightly. But we are to examine our hearts and to ask God if there's any unconfessed sin in our lives and to ask his forgiveness. As we prepare our hearts, to help us to do that, we're going to hear the song, "This Is My Body." And this song was sung at our Passion Drama, I believe a year ago. Thank you. That night when they gathered, as we have read in the scriptures, while they were eating that meal, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this symbolizes in our lives as Christians. The body of Christ, which was nailed to the cross for our sins, the suffering. And as we partake of this bread in just a moment, we ask God that we would be ever mindful and thankful. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. He broke the bread and he passed it among them. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Same way, he took the cup and he blessed it. Lord God, as we hold this cup before us, we are reminded of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, that yielded to your call to come upon this earth and to die upon the cross and to shed his blood. Because we know that the scriptures tell us that apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So, Father God, we thank you that we can once again be reminded on this day the greatest sacrifice of all for us was Jesus. Jesus. Amen. You may partake. Scriptures tell us that Jesus said, for as often as you partake of this, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
I want to invite you to sing with me, Change My Heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true.
Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Draw our service to a close. I pray that God has changed your heart during this worship service. I pray that this time has ministered to you through our music, through the message, through the sharing of the Lord's Supper. I just want to encourage you that if you have made a decision as a result of this service, if you would just let us know by calling our office or sending our office an email, and they will contact us and we will get back to you. Again, we just want to thank you so much for being with us today. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you that we can be reminded of all that we've talked about, but not only be reminded, but refreshed that Jesus is still alive, that you are still on your throne, and God, you got it. We just need to trust in you. For it is in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.